All right. Well, praise God. We got a new year. You know, at the end of 20, you know, when all the COVID broke out and everybody was shouting, hallelujah, let's get on with 2021 and have a good time, I told people to buckle down. I literally told people to grab their seat with both hands because 2020 wasn't going to have nothing on 2021. And 21 proved to be a pretty wild year. And then 22 got even wilder. Well, guess what, folks? It's going to get even wilder. But guess what? Jesus is still Lord. And we win. And the devil is losing more and more ground every day. He's getting exposed. The darkness cannot overcome the light. And every day the devil loses more and more ground. A lot of people don't see it, but they're not looking for it. But he is getting wiped out. His system is getting wiped out all over the world. Praise God. Just know this, you're going to be okay. And there's going to be some real interesting events coming shortly. So just buckle down, because it's not going to get easy for a little bit. Amen. Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? And we'll go ahead and do that. One good thing, one amazing, wonderful thing that God did for us was give us the Holy Communion. And this is actually one of the closest, most intimate things that you can do with Jesus, is by taking communion. As you're looking at His sacrifice. And by the way, this is one of His greatest expressions of love to us, His sacrifice in this communion. When we look at the communion and we take the communion and we discern the body of Christ and honor the blood of Jesus, powerful things happen. This is His design for healing. I think God knew more about our healing than any doctor ever did. When we take of this, we're taking supernatural medicine. You know, the medicines of the world are all made from broken creation. It's an interesting thing. We take broken creation and try to fix broken creation instead of taking supernatural creation to fix that broken creation. Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. When we look at this bread, we see His body. We see His body sacrificed. We see His broken body that was beaten and bruised for us. We see His broken body that took stripes on His back for our healing. We see His broken body that was pierced and shed His precious sinless blood. And we see His broken body on that cross with the full wrath of God's fiery judgment laid on it. So we take this for our healing and well-being, and we thank you for it. The blood of Jesus had no sin in it. And the blood of Jesus still has no sin in it. And the blood of Jesus is still alive. It's still pliable. And it's still washing away our sins. It's still protecting us. And it's because of his shed blood that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in a time of need. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our families, over our jobs, over our animals, over everything that we're involved in. We plead the blood of Jesus over it for protection. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. All right, open your Bibles up to the book of Acts, chapter 11. And we'll continue on with our I don't know if we're having children's church or not. Are we having children's church today? Okay, there's one nod. Okay, you can go. In the book of Acts chapter 11, we're going to continue on with our adventure through the book of Acts, showing how Holy Spirit works with the church, how he operates through the church, and different things that he does for us. Acts chapter 11, verse 28 has a curious account. So there stood up one of them, named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout the world, all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, here's this man. It talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about different gifts. You know, you can have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, you know, the prophecy, and miracles, and healings, and tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So there's all these different gifts. And that comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here's a curious account right here of New Testament church member standing up, giving a prophecy that's not a positive confession. Ooh. You just can't believe how much friction you get out of Word of Faith people when you have a prophecy that's not a positive confession. You know, not all prophecies are going to be something going to give you goosey bumpy feelings, make you feel all better. You got to get your head straight about this. Sometimes God will give a prophecy to somebody to give a warning to somebody so that they can prepare. Amen? He tell you that there's trouble down the road. And you need to get ready. In fact, God, through his prophets and ministers, has been telling the United States to get ready for a long time. And they didn't. he started warning them about things to come for a long time, and they didn't take heed to the warning. Because it wasn't a positive confession. But look, God will tell you things to come for your own good. Amen? Now these guys, it says in all the world, but it was in Judea where this drought happened. And these guys prepared and they sent relief to Judea because they got ready. They weren't in a position of drought, but they got ready and they sent relief down to Judea to help them get through the drought. See, he can tell you to prepare to help somebody else. Amen? Now go down to chapter 12. And verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping with two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. Okay, now, here's Peter. One of his buddies, James, just got taken out with the sword. Peter just got captured by the same people that put Jesus on the cross. And he's in prison with all kinds of guards around him. And you can see how he's sweating and worried and frantic and panicked. And no. He's sleeping. That guy's got ice water flowing through his veins. Now, to just read that story, you'd think, well, the Holy Spirit just got a hold of him and made him that way, and he's just cool as a cucumber from then on. That's not exactly how Peter's life went. You know, you can go through an adventure through the Gospels, and you can see where one day Jesus got on a boat with them, and they went out into the lake, and they got in a storm, and Peter comes back there and said, don't you even care we're going to drown? And Jesus said, "Where's your faith?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and they quit. Well, that could be a first step in learning to trust Jesus. And then we find another account where Jesus compelled them to get on a boat. This time he's sending them on the boat by themselves. And they got out there, and the wind and the waves came up and started causing all kinds of havoc. And it looked like they were going to drown. But Jesus walked on water out there and got Peter to walk on water. So there's another step. In Philippians, it tells us to be anxious for nothing, but let our requests be made known to God, so that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will flow through our hearts. That's not exactly how that verse goes, but that's the basics of it. He literally doesn't want us to be worried. You know, worry robs you of your peace. Worry robs you of your health. Worry robs you of your finances. Worry will rob you of everything you have. All these major life events that we seem to run into at different points in time, where it looks like the end of the road. How many of you have been there? Like, this is the end. I don't know how I can make it through this. It's over. And then somehow we get through it. And then we get through another thing. If you just stop when you reach one of these major life events and look back at your life and look at all these different major life events that you've been through, you'll realize that God has a 100% track record of bringing you through major life events. And then you're still alive, ain't you? Then he's 100%. Amen? So we got that to look forward to. We got God on our side. You know, Joseph was certainly, I mean, this guy had reason to be concerned. His family sold him into slavery. And he was in a foreign land without any money, without any clothes, without any contacts. Didn't know the language. But he was in that foreign land in prison. But he considered himself to be a successful man because God was with him. None of the things in the natural made any sense. But he had the one thing that mattered, and the only thing that mattered, as God. He knew as long as he had God on his side, it was going to be all right. And look what happened. He ended up being second only to Pharaoh. He saved his family from a drought to the point where they multiplied in the land of Goshen to millions. A handful to millions. All because God was with him. He trusted God. Now here we have Peter trusting God. I want you to notice in verse 5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Here's the important, I talked to you before about paying attention to who you let into your inner circle. You know, Jesus had a big realm of people that he dealt with. You know, he fed several thousand people at different times. And then there was 500 people that he told to go to the upper room. Not that many made it. Narrow it down just a little bit. There was 70 people that he sent out two by two to go out there and spread his word. Narrow that down even farther, and he had 12. Now this is getting to be a pretty tight-knit group of friends here. He had 12 that he kept around him all the time. And he narrowed that down when things really got tight. He had 3. He had 3 that he took with him to the Mount of Transfiguration. He had 3 that he took with him to the Rock of Gethsemane. And he even tightened it down even further and narrowed it down to 1. When he was on the cross, John was standing next to Mary. And he looked at John and Mary and he said, Mother, behold thy son. Brother, behold thy mother. He trusted one to take care of his mother. We all need to have somebody that we can turn to. Just because somebody goes to church every time the doors swing open doesn't mean that they have your best interest at heart. That's why it's important to have a handful that you can turn to. Now, in the book of Acts, they were pretty fortunate because they hadn't got into the division part yet. They were still of one accord. You know, these guys were going from house to house and breaking bread and taking communion together. They were in the habit of getting together and praying together with each other on purpose, with one accord. They were still in agreement. They hadn't started griping about the color of the carpet yet. Now, Peter was in jail in chains, and the church did not stop praying for him. And they kept praying and praying, and finally, Peter walked out of that prison without chains. Peter was come to himself. He said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So they're still praying. They didn't know that he had been released yet. Verse 13, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angels. So these guys, they didn't believe it. They were praying for it. They didn't believe the answer. The answer had come. They thought, no, it's his angel. See, you're not always going to hit the bullseye. But God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. He just needs somebody to pull the trigger on that thing. You just got to go pray. Get in faith and pray. Believe God hears your prayers. You know, Peter was in a absolutely what you could call impossible situation. But God excels in impossible situations. He doesn't need you to be talented. He doesn't need you to be anything other than obedient. I remember one time up home, this girl, I had been witnessing to her and her boyfriend, her husband, and didn't seem to be getting much of anywhere. And the deal was that if she ever got caught drinking or using drugs ever again, she'd have to do 10 years in prison, no matter what. Well, she got caught. And she called me from jail and asked me if I could come down there. And I said, yeah, I can come down there. And I went down there and I talked to her. And I said, Jeff, you need to get born again. You need to get born again right now. Nothing's going to change for you until you do. So she got born again. And I said, now you have absolute access to God to have your prayers answered. So we prayed for that mess to get cleared up. 2 days later, she's out of jail and back home, not having to go to prison for 10 years. Amen? That's how God works. He excels in impossible situations. He just needs us to go out there and do what He asks us to do. Remember, He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. Speak in other tongues. That's what He asked us to do. That's actually what He told us to do. You know, that's a commission for the whole church. Not just the fivefold ministry, but the whole church, every believer. To go out there and do those things. But then He went one step further and He empowered His church with the Holy Spirit to make sure they were equipped to do the work of the ministry out there. Amen? Now, one thing God will let us be involved with some really, really cool stuff. But one of the biggest challenges with people is pride. The Bible tells us that God resists the proud. Here's the thing. Pride is part of the flesh. And as long as we're in these earth suits, we're attached to the flesh. We're always going to have to fight that. Paul said he had to constantly keep under his body. I mean, he had to keep knocking that stuff down. He had to keep fighting pride. Pride is one of those things that I don't care who you are, you're always going to have an occasion to have to fight that down. Amen? The Bible tells us to be humble. There's crazy ideas about humility. I don't know how many times I ran into people in churches say, I'm just a lowly little minister. Said, no, you're not. You may be a minister, but you're not lowly. You're a minister of the highest rank. The minute you get born again, you are a minister of the highest rank. Well, I'm not part of the fivefold. I don't care. You're an ambassador for Christ. You don't have to be part of the fivefold to be an ambassador for Christ. You just need to be born again. One of the things that I've noticed is when somebody does something and something happens, somebody gets healed or somebody gets born again or, you know, somebody gets set free, they like to go, you see how cool I was? That's stupid. That's a dangerous place to be in. That's a dangerous place to be in. When God lets us be part of something, our job is to magnify God, glorify Him, praise Him. Sometimes people get frustrated with me. Something will happen, they'll get healed, or something will pray for them and they'll get healed or set free or whatever happens, and they'll say, thank you. And I say, praise God. They said, no, but thank you. And I said, yeah, but praise God. I don't want the credit. I didn't do it. Because I know the verse in John chapter 14, verse 12 that says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that's what I will do. See, I don't get that confused. I know I do the asking, and Jesus does the doing. And it makes a lot of people mad. It's religious folks. I'll pray for somebody, and somebody will get healed. You didn't heal them. I said, I know. Then they just kind of get really frustrated because I'm not taking credit for it. So I know I didn't heal them. I prayed for them and Jesus healed them. Then they don't know what to do anymore. They're just mad. They're mostly mad because I'm out doing things that they know they're supposed to be doing, but their doctrine doesn't agree with what I'm doing, so they won't do it. But don't get frustrated. Just keep on doing the next right thing. Keep on going out there and doing it and doing it and doing it. And it gets fun, actually, when you start realizing that all you have to do is pray. And Jesus does the doing. One of the funnest things I ever learned how to do in the Bible was to manipulate the weather. I learned that you could pray for rain and it could rain. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, because I could be riding along on the road with my friend. I said, it's going to rain. No, it ain't. I said, I'm praying in the name of Jesus it rains, and it'll start raining. Well, one time I went into the office and I told my boss, I said, I need a couple days off. He said, I can't do a couple days. He said, I can't let you go one day. I said, I got to have a couple days off. I got to go home. And he said, I can't do it. I said, well, you have to. He said, no, I don't. I said, well, last time I prayed for rain, most of your crew didn't work for 2 weeks. Now, do we want to go down that path again? He said, yeah. So I got a couple days off. But he became a believer in that praying stuff too. I prayed for his kid when he was born, and his kid didn't get sick for 2 years. Took him until he was 2 years. He never got colic. He never got a cold. He never got anything. When he was 2 or 3 years old, he finally coughed one day, and it scared him so bad he didn't know. He'd never been sick. But that was Jesus and the Word of God doing that. See, the power of the Holy Spirit is way bigger than what we've ever imagined. If we'll learn to rely on the Holy Spirit, He'll teach us things in the Bible that we never even thought about. If we'll learn to rely on the Holy Spirit, He'll bring us comfort that we never imagined. You know, Peter, resting in prison, sleeping. The angel had to kick him in the ribs to get him to wake up. That's pretty laid back. Especially when you consider the cast of characters that had him captured. The Holy Spirit will tell us things to come if we'll spend time asking Him what's going on. If we'll spend a little bit of time talking to Him, talking to God, and talking to Him. And then here's probably the toughest part. We're really good at praying and running our mouths, but sometimes we're not very good at stopping and shutting our mouths and opening our ears, opening our spiritual ears to hear what He has to say. You know, He will give you specific directions sometimes. He'll tell you exactly where to go at exactly what time to be there. How many of you have struggled and struggled and struggled, sometimes for days and days and days, for an answer? And just finally, out of frustration, just didn't know what else to do. And then at some point at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and you got the answer. And you got perfect peace. Why is that? Because at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're usually sound asleep. That means your mouth is not running. Your mind is not racing. And you got your body still. And you got quiet and still enough so that you could hear His voice. Yeah. So that you could hear His voice and get your answer. We've all heard His voice. Every one of you have heard His voice. Every single one of you. And I'll tell you why. I know this. At some point in your life, you were sitting at the coffee table in the morning saying, "Something told me not to do that." His name is not something. He is Holy Spirit. And He was talking to you. We've all been there. We sat at the coffee table and said, "Something told me I needed to go talk to that person." His name is not something. He is Holy Spirit. And He is telling us what to do. He was telling us of things to come. He was telling us where to be. Amen. It takes practice. You know, Isaiah, what a mighty prophet. Even Isaiah had to practice at hearing the voice of God. He didn't just wake up one day and had it. He woke up one time, he heard a voice, and he ran over to the priest and said, "Here am I." And the priest said, "That's not me. I didn't say anything." So he went back to bed and heard the voice of God again. He ran back over to the priest and said, "Here am I." And the priest said, "Boy, it's not me. Get back to bed. That's got to be the voice of God. Next time you hear that, do what it says." He heard it, and then he went on being led by God to do greater and greater and greater things. We've all heard the voice of God. But it's taking that first step of obedience and stepping out and doing what He asked you to do, which will lead to the next funner thing and the next greater thing and then the next greater thing to the point where at some point He'll go ask you to do something that in the natural, any way you can imagine it, is impossible. To us, it is. But see, if it was possible, if we could pull it off, if we could manage it, financially, physically, or whatever, any other way you can imagine, if we could pull it off, then we could maybe have some kind of a reason to brag about it. But when God pulls something off that's bigger than your imagination, all you can do is just sit there and say, "Only by the grace of God could that happen." That's impossible for me to do. Amen. So let's continue to give glory to God and give Him the praise. and keep depending on Holy Spirit to change us and to use us and guide us and teach us. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us. He's always here to help us to rightfully divide the word of truth. He's always here to operate the gifts of the Holy Spirit through us as he wills. We thank you for his comfort. We thank you for the peace that only you can bring in every situation. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have cookies and biscuits and kids. Come back and get one.